Christ.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, truly the Lord has been so good to me. I am just thankful to be on the broadcast today. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we are coming live via the internet, and we are reaching the world, the whole world worldwide. And so we thank God for just this opportunity to be able to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And Lord, we thank God for everyone that will be logging in, all those that are calling in and those that will be listening to the broadcast later. We thank God for your faithfulness. We thank God for your support. And we thank God that you, that God led you to the Word of God today to be able to listen to what God, what thus saith the Lord. We have been talking about spiritual gifts for the last couple of weeks. And so we are going to be continuing on that vein probably throughout the rest of this year, because we have, of course, there's 7 motivational gifts, there are 9 spiritual gifts, and then there are 10 ministry gifts. And so we're going to teach on each one of those and give some a breakdown of each one of those particular gifts. And hopefully that, you know, you will be able to hear something that will spark in your spirit and allow you to know, if you don't know what spiritual gifts that you have operating within you, because we all have them, that God will ignite it in you once you hear the word, and you will be able to understand where your gifting is and what it is that you should be doing for the kingdom of God. We're just so grateful just to have this opportunity to come to you today. So I just want to start off with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we were glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. God, we thank you that you are a shepherd and that we shall not want. We thank you, Lord, that you will supply our every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that this word will fall on good ground, Father, and that it will spring up in the souls of people, oh God, in the spirit of people, and they will be able to be not only hearers of your word, but doers of your word also. They'll be willing and obedient, and they will have works, faith, and works with it, God. God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word spreading abroad across the airways, God. And, Lord, people being able to hear and learn about this broadcast, and that people will be set free and delivered, and souls will be saved, and somebody will give their life to Christ today because of the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for stirring up the gifts that are within us, oh God, that they will be used for the glory of God. So, Lord, we thank you today. We ask you to bless each and every one, Lord Jesus, that will be participating on the broadcast today. We thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, we pray that you do exceeding abundantly above all that they can even ask or think. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, being our Jehovah Nissi, our peace, oh God, and being our banner, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you are fighting our battles, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for being in our right mind, oh God. We thank you for the activity and the use of our limbs, Lord Jesus, and our senses, God. We thank you for everything, God, because you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be glorified, for you're an awesome God. And we glorify you today, and we magnify your holy name, for you are worthy, worthy, worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank the Lord for, is this Elder Dotson or Sister Dotson that's on the call?
It's Sister Dotson tonight.
Okay. Praise the Lord, Sister Dotson. Thank God
Amen.
For being on the call tonight. We're gonna continue on with our motivational gifts. We're just about through with them. We talked. I'm gonna just do a little recap of the ones that we talked about in the prior 2 weeks, so that we can catch ourselves up. If this is your first time listening in, that you will be able to know exactly where we are. And I'll read the scripture. We find the motivational gifts in Romans the 12th chapter, and that's the sixth through the tenth verse. I may read a little further down in there, but anyway, we're going to start at verse 6, and it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And I'm reading now the New King James Version. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then if I just read just a little bit more down and kind of give some explanation to those particular gifts, in the 9th verse it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that with what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs and the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And so those are where those particular gifts are coming from in the book of Romans, where it begins to talk about the motivational gifts. And as I was talking last week, one of the things that I said was that as we become believers, the motivational gifts are given to us at that time. It says that God's grace shapes how a believer views life, relates to others, and impacts the body of Christ. It says a motivational gift can be compared to a set of eyeglasses from God, given so that the believer can see people and circumstances through that particular set of lenses. And so that's something that the Lord gives us. And so the seven motivational gifts are: one, prophecy, and it says it reveals truth by exposing sin so that the fellowship with God can be restored and maintained. Serving demonstrates love by meeting practical needs, usually through tangible work. And teaching discovers and validates truth so that the church maintains accuracy. And then exhortation, and this is where we were talking about last week, exhortation. It says that exhortation encourages Christians to grow spiritually by teaching and discipling and counseling others. And then the gift of giving conserves and shares resources in order to meet the needs of people. And so those were the ones, that's where we stopped off last week. We were talking about giving. And so now we're going to start with the gift of ruling, or some versions call it organizing. And so somebody that has the gift of ruling or organizing is really a form of leadership. And so they carry out projects by recruiting people, workers, and organizing tasks and delegating responsibilities. And that's one of the main focuses of their gift. So when you see people that have those leadership qualities or those organizing qualities, it seems like that you can give them something to do, and they can automatically, they just begin to come up with things on how to get it done. And they persevere in those areas on trying to get those particular gifts done. So it says a person with the motivational gift of organizing is able to accomplish tasks and solve problems through analysis and delegation. An organizer often discerns the talents and abilities of others and knows how those individuals can best serve within the ministry or on a particular project. And so that's some of the things that are organizers do, says that they're able to discern some of the giftings of others so that they'll know how to place people in the particular areas that they need things to be done. And that's a very special gift, because we need all of these gifts are necessary for the body of Christ. He would not have given them to us if we didn't need these things to be necessary. Because everybody can't be a giver. Everybody can't be a prophecy, and everybody can't teach and all those things. So we need people that also can take on the role of a leader. Because even if we think about those gifts in the ministry gifts, which are the fivefold gifts, lie within there. Those leadership gifts need these other leaders to be able to keep things organized and keep things going within the ministry. Do you have, Sister Doctor, do you have anything to add to that?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
Can you hear me? Yeah, no, I was just sitting and listening and thinking about the gifts that you were talking about. But I know people that have several other gifts, you know what I'm saying? A lot of them. I mean, they are. What are they? They give, and they can teach, and they prophesy, and they exhort, and then they can rule, and show mercy too. It's just not one. I just think a Christian can have several of those gifts, and that's really a blessing to the body. Everybody wants to do the fivefold, but this is so important also. It's so important to have these gifts working in the church, and it's great that right now tonight you're talking about it, and making us think about these gifts working. You know, you just kind of, oh, well, you read the Bible, you kind of breeze through it, but, you know, this is making us dig down into it and really think about what we really have and what we need in the body.
Yes, because I know as even myself, as I was studying, I've been studying just these. I haven't even began to, I've looked at the others, but I haven't really dug into them because some of our other teachers are going to teach on those particular gifts. But just these first seven, I kept thinking, well, I see myself in several of them, and I'm thinking, wow, because it does say that you can possess more than one of these gifts. So it's not that you're just going to get one of them and that's the only one you get. But like you said, Phil, sometimes I know some that look like they got all of them. When you think about some of the things people do and how the Lord blesses them to operate. And so you can possess more than one gift. And I know it has caused me to begin to think about things, because just like we were talking about last week with the gift of exhortation, and just seeing how that gift it comforts, it strengthens, it counsels with people, and it encourages the people from being hopeless and things like that. And, you know, used to be we just thought the gift of exhortation was getting up in front of the church and exhorting through the service and carrying the service forward. And, you know, like that, we would think about that way. But it's way more, it's so much more than that. And it's also a gift of influence.
It's a gift of influence, and it can be an intimate gift, one-on-one with somebody. And, you know, and God starts with one. And you can exhort one, and they end up, you know, really blowing up in the ministry and in the works of the Lord, in the work of the Lord. So we shouldn't take that thing lightly. Like you said, everybody wants to be the big ballers, but it's okay, and it's good, and God has designed it so we can minister one to the other. And can I say, when you went on to verse 9, you start reading those verses, and you said that, okay, you read the verses about gifts, the motivational gifts, and then you start off saying that when you begin in verse 9, what
mm-hmm.
is this, you said this is the description or the,
well,
how did you?
It's the guideline to it. It's the guideline. So for this particular gift right here, the motivational gift of organizing or ruling, whichever version of the Bible you are using, verse 12 and 14, which was a part of those that I read, it says particularly it relates to the gift of organization and the life principle of suffering. It says, bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse them. And so that particular verse, verse 14, relates to the gift of organizing. And that's
okay.
How as we've been going through these motivational gifts, because like last week, and I'll go back over those too, because it was, and when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay. something different that I hadn't really thought about.
So would you say these scriptures after hearing about the motivational gifts, these scriptures after actually tell you how to walk in them?
Exactly. So like the gift of prophecy, you know, the gift of prophecy being a prophet, you know, that applies the word of God to a situation and so that the sin is exposed. But then its parallel gift, parallel scripture in that same chapter is 12 and 9, which says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, but cling to that which is good. Because it's saying a person that does the gift has the gift of prophecy. They are exposing sin. That's what they do. They, you know, that's one of the parts of their gifting is they apply the word of God to expose sin. And, you know, and then and relationships are restored through that. And so that's what they're saying. You know, let love be without hypocrisy, but abhor that what is evil and cling to what is good. And so these are kind of the guidelines to those particular giftings. And then like the gift of, I'll go through them real quick since I brought that up, we'll go through it real quick. Then like the gift of serving is the is driven by demonstration of love. And then it said it's a guideline is Romans 12 and 10, which says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. And so, and of course, if we think about that in the thought pattern of somebody that serves, that's kind of what they do.
That's true. They and Elder Dyson's here too. He's sitting over there on the sideline. Uh huh. Yeah, that's true. No, but it is the truth. It is the truth. You got to be humble.
Yeah,
you have to be humble. And a person that serves really is. They prefer the other brother more than they do themselves.
Mhm. And even it said 12 and 11 particularly relates to the gift of serving too. It says, "Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." And that relates to both serving and to the gift of teaching, because we're fervent in spirit, but you're serving the Lord, so you're not being slothful. You're going about, you know, doing passionate about discovering and validating the Word of God. So that was one of its guideline scriptures. And then if we look at if we look at the gift of exhortation, its guideline was 12:12, which says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer. And so, but, you know, exhortation, as we found out, is way more than just getting up and exhorting during the service, but it also has, you know, the capacity to, you know, to help people through hopelessness and to help people and to influence people and to, and like you said, to be patient in tribulation, to counsel with people and teaching people and discipling people. That's a part of the gift of exhortation as well. And so then when you look at that particular scripture, it says rejoicing in hope, being patient in tribulation, consistent in prayer. So it's helping through those particular situations. And that was something I found that was. Go ahead.
In my opinion, what I see here and what you're teaching is what the Lord was saying about his kingdom come, and because these gifts enhance the kingdom of God, and
yeah,
it pushes the kingdom of God. When you exhort one another, an exhortation, it's like a domino effect. You're building them up, and it builds up someone else, and it builds up someone else, and it builds up someone else. It starts a domino effect as far as kingdom work, and
mm-hmm.
and it encourages one another.
Yeah.
And I believe that's one of the reasons why the Bible says that the gift edifies the church.
Yeah, it's to edify the body of Christ, yeah.
That's right.
And that's what we're to use them for. And so these things are, you know, being used. And people think, you know, and like we keep saying, you know, people, they hone in on those fivefold ministry gifts, but all of the gifts are important because they're all really, they're administered by the self-same Spirit, but God gives us these gifts to use in the body of Christ so that it all, it's just like the body. The body has to have, you know, for it to function normally and function fluently, it needs all of the things. Because if you lose a finger, it takes you some adjustment to be able to use that hand again. So it's the same thing with these ministry gifts. When one of those are not in operation, the others can suffer because nobody has that gift to do that particular deed. And so we have to think about. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, I was just saying that nobody has that. If you know, the body can suffer without that particular gift being in operation.
Okay. So, I have a. Oh, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Oh, go ahead.
So, the motivational gifts. When you say these gifts are actually. I'm thinking of it when you say motivation, a movement, you know, trying to stimulate and to stimulate the body of Christ, like Elder Dotson saying, it's to further the kingdom.
Yes.
And then the other is the fivefold gifts of the ministry, the fivefold. What did you call them? The pastoring, the apostle. The teacher, what are those, the fivefold gifts of the ministry?
Those are fivefold ministry gifts. And so that's a
yeah.
whole different set of gifts. But even though they're more on that, they're all of those are really leadership gifts.
Okay.
That fivefold ministry.
Okay.
Because you can be a teacher and not necessarily be a leader. You know what I'm saying? But you have the gift of teaching. But maybe you don't really have a leadership role. But your goal in that is to make sure to validate the Word of God and to make sure that the Word of God is taught. Any of us can be have the gift of teaching. When
yes.
we think about when God gave the Great Commission, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world. He said, teaching. So he gave that to all believers to be able to do. You know what I'm saying? We could all be utilized in that area. So I think that those motivational gifts like that are those that can be used by any of us, because any of us get those gifts, and any of us could have more than one of those gifts.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I was, you know, because me, it just kind of kind of goes in and out of the minute, you know, the fivefold ministry, these motivational gifts, and that's what I was just trying to get to straight up.
Yeah.
You there?
Because the role of a prophet and somebody that can prophesy is different as well. Because even though the prophet prophesies, but the gift of prophecy is not utilized, it's not utilized the same as a person that is a prophet. It is a difference. And so we'll learn about that later, but if you think about somebody that is a prophet, they really are sent to the nation, I mean to the, you know, they're sent to a different audience really. But somebody that has a gift of prophecy can prophesy to anybody. I mean, can prophesy just to individuals. They can, I mean, they can too. But what I'm saying, it's a different difference. And I was listening to somebody, it was a prophet on, I think it was on TBN, and she was saying the difference of, she said the prophet comes in authority. And somebody that prophesies, they are, it says, they apply the word of God to a situation so that sin is exposed and relationships are restored. But they're not necessarily walking in the authority of a prophet.
Okay, so I know I don't mean to sound like a novice, but now I'm just kind of breaking down the two. Because now when you think about it, back when, back when Samuel and David and all them were around, they had prophets. Samuel was a prophet. But then God would fall upon Saul to prophesy. But he was not walking in that office that Samuel was.
Exactly. That's a great example.
Okay. I had to really process it here and think now. Okay, but I understand what you're saying. The prophet really has a strong anointing. Yeah, and it's authority, and it's just a difference. Okay, but then God can fall upon anybody, and I don't know if you want to say, well, the donkey that he used,
yeah.
I mean, he didn't necessarily prophesy, but he spoke. So God can use whom he will to prophesy. So you know what? That ought to make the saints just rejoice that God would use all of us at any given time. You don't have to walk into the role of a prophet. It's just a blessing to be in the body of Christ, to move in those gifts.
Yeah. And even Paul said, and just because you don't possess a certain gift doesn't mean you can't ask for it. He said, covet the best gift. So if you want it, if that's something that you feel like that you can pray for that gift. And, of course, it's got to be used for the kingdom of God and in the power of God. We understand in the spirit of God wants us to, and we got to use it for his glory. It's just not something you can say so you can be running around talking about, oh, I'm a prophet. That's not what it's for. But it is, you can covet the best gift. That's what he said. And we'll get in more into that when we start talking about the manifestation gift. But there, people can operate in more than one gifting. Does anyone else have any comments? Okay, so we'll go on. And, I was going to go over the gift of giving. Giving, when I was talking about still referencing those other scriptures in Romans 12, it says like the gift of giving is, you know, wants to use financial resources wisely in order to meet the needs of others or whatever, you know, the giver is usually a good at finding the best way, you know, best things to help to be a blessing to someone. And then if we look at the guideline scripture that kind of goes with that particular gifting, it's Romans 12 and 13, where it says particularly relates to the gift of giving because it says contribute. And it, let me read out the other version, let's see, 12 and 13. When it says, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality, that is somebody that has a gift of giving. And so that kind of, you know, further, it kind of validates or explains or has a guideline to that particular gift. And then, let's see.
But don't you think, I don't know what you're using as a reference, but I was going back up to verse 11. Wouldn't that also be a guideline for giving, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, when you give, you want to give as unto the Lord. But, you know, there was a scripture that I was reading. I believe it was in James. I believe that it said, if you got something, don't say to your neighbor, go away and come back, I'll give it to you later. You know, you got to be diligent in giving. You know what I'm saying? You know how some people say, oh, yeah, I got your money. And they be having it in their pocket, but won't give it to you because they don't want to let it go. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you're supposed to, if you have it, you're not supposed to send somebody away talking about, I'll go again and come back, I'll give it to you. I can't remember. I believe it was in James. It may not have been there, but that was a scripture to say, you know, if somebody has something, give it to them while you got it. So I was just equating that 11th verse, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Yeah. I think any of these really can probably be a guideline to all of those if we think about them in that light. But I think that one in 11 goes more to the person that is a server, that serves. You know, he's serving. He's not slothful about serving. When it's time to serve, he gets up and gets moving, and he gets the job done. And so I think that's why they kind of related that to that particular one. But you can also use it for the one that's giving, because they're fervent in spirit as well. And they, you know, they're not slothful. They want to be a giver when the time comes. And because I know what you're talking about, the scripture you're talking about, and it also says when it's in your hands to do, then do it. It's also a scripture that says that, and I'll have to look it up while we're going through here if I can find it here in a minute and give both of those particular scriptures. Or somebody else can look at it out there on the line, maybe find them if they can, be able to give somebody the scripture reference for both of those, because those are both really good scriptures to apply to that particular thing. Because if it's in our hands to do it, we have it. If we can do it, if somebody is in need of something and we have it, then the Bible is telling us, if it's in your hands to do, then do it. Then be a blessing to that person and not be, you know, stingy or nothing like that. So those are some of the things we have to think about when we think about giving. If you got two coats and somebody don't have one, maybe you can spare one of those coats, you know, and give it to somebody. That's kind of really the heart that the Lord wants us to have. Because he said, if you give, it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Well, he calls men to give unto your bosom. And I think sometimes we think about the pressed down, running over. We forget about the verse, the part of the verse that says he'll cause men to give into our bosoms as well. So being a giver is such a blessing. But then also sometimes givers give so much, and then they feel like that it's not appreciated. So they have to be very careful not to get in that mindset that could be a weakness of theirs, that then they'll begin to conserve and then become a little, you know, tight, because they feel like that, you know, their feelings of their giving, but people are taking advantage of them. So that's one of the things that being a giver you have to be watchful for. Does anyone else have any comments about any of this that we're discussing at the time?
What particular scripture are you? Where are y'all right now? Because I'm just joining.
We're in Romans 12, and what I started out talking about in Romans 12:6, all the way to the 14th chapter. I was saying that how, you know, when we're talking about the ministry gifts in themselves that is in verses 6 through 8, when we start with verse 9 through 14, or nine through fourteen. I think it is, it begins to kind of give a guideline to those particular gifts.
Okay.
And so that's what we were talking about.
I think a giver is like the script, like the gift you just talked about before. All of us give,
mm-hmm.
but not all of us have the gift of giving.
Exactly.
When you have the gift of giving, that's a whole different spirit about that person. It's a whole disposition of that person. And that person has, most of the time, a giver has a hard time receiving. Not only do they have, sometimes they get feel unappreciated, they have a hard time receiving. When they're a giver, they're so used to giving, they do not know how to receive. You give them something, they're ready to give it back or give it to somebody else. So they don't know how to receive sometimes when they have the gift of giving. They got an humble spirit. They have a nice disposition, and they just love to give. That's how they serve the Lord. They're still servants. That's how they serve. They serve in the Lord as a servant in the operation of their gift, which is giving.
Amen. I agree with that. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And when you're giving cheerfully, it becomes an attitude. It becomes a spiritual thing. There, one thing that the Lord has showed me in my giving, you really have to give according to the Spirit, because do you know there are some people that give and step in the place of someone trying to sometimes you'll give and step in the place of someone that's supposed to reap a blessing. What I'm saying is you give and you feel, if you're not led by the Spirit, you step in the place where someone, where God had set for someone to get blessed by giving. If that makes sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I also believe to piggyback on that, that when you do give, it's really important that you're led by the Spirit of God. Because when you give it of yourself, like he was saying, you get in the way, and you know what? And he said it a different way, but I'm saying it like this: you'll get people to start looking to you,
exactly,
and to appreciate you more than they do God, and that's not how God wants it. He always wants to get the glory. So we have to make sure that we are in sync with what the Lord has done, or else we just giving our stuff away.
Yeah.
And you got to be led by the Spirit so you won't get in trouble with God.
Exactly, because then people will begin to look to you more than they look to God, and that is so right.
I say that because the Lord taught me a lesson one time. We got a blessing where we received some money, and we said, well, it must be the Lord. We want to do it. But we didn't consult the Lord about it, and we gave this person, money away, and I'm not ashamed to say we had to file bankruptcy. And guess how much the bankruptcy was? It was the amount that we gave away. And the Lord told me, I didn't tell you to give that away.
Yeah.
So, see, you got to be careful. He told me just point blank. I said, well, Lord, my bankruptcy is the same amount that I gave away. You trying to tell me if I kept it? And the Lord came to my heart and said, I didn't tell you to give that. So
I think, and I don't know if we're getting into a different area, because like even in service, I think people get so caught up into they give emotion and not really being led by the Spirit of God. And so then when they give emotionally, and then they don't reap what they feel like they should get from, like we'll say it in church, sowing that seed, then they begin to wonder, well, what did I do wrong? Well, you have to be led by the Spirit of God, and you got to be able to distinguish your emotions. One of the service that we did today, the preacher said something that was really profound. He said, we either react to situations or we bond to situations. And when you react to situations, you're reacting in your emotions. But what you really want to do is respond to situations out of wisdom and out of the prompting of the Spirit of God. So don't react, but respond.
Been there, done that.
That's good.
Been there and done that, and then had the nerve to get mad at God about it.
That's a good analogy. Right.
He says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. So that regards every aspect of our life and everything. We should ask God everything.
And so that, Elder Bryson, not trying to take you off your subject, but this is part of, we just kind of got stuck on that gift of giving. So I hope we didn't take you, out of what you were doing.
We can keep on this thing. This is the point of the teaching. Sometimes we have to dig a little deeper to get it all worked out and figured out so that people have a clear understanding about what it means. Because this is all valid information if you think about it. Because sometimes, like you said, people just start giving, and they have, it's just like when we back in olden times when we was in church, how we used to post day checks and things like that. That was not the will
right.
of God.
Right, because you didn't have.
Okay, that's lying.
Right.
We didn't have the money.
Thank you. Right.
And then a lot of times go ahead.
Emotions. They're out of your emotions. But then we have this is the thing that the Lord has dealt with me on. The intent of my heart in giving is to be in covenant with what God desires.
Right.
Be in covenant with God. And then we're kind of talking about tithes being. So I don't want to be paying my tithes or giving with the thought I'm doing this so I can get something back. But I'm doing it because I'm in covenant and being obedient.
But if you have the gift of giving, that you don't have, that's normally not your problem. You have the enemy dealing with you out of your emotion, making you feel guilty or feeling people using you if you're not
right.
careful.
I mean,
you're speaking with the right side of your brain, as a lady talked today, then your giving, if you had the gift of giving, that's what everybody don't have. All of us give as unto the Lord,
right.
But some people they have been given the gift of giving.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a different operation of that. When they give, they give it from, most of them, they'll give it from their heart because it's come natural. It's a gift. It's innate in them to give. They just give.
Mm-hmm.
So they need help in training on how to have balance. But sometimes they get out of balance. As the brother just gave his testimony, you give, and you give away something that you needed for your own house that you didn't consult with God, because sometimes wisdom, the lack of thereof sometimes, we make decisions because it comes natural to give.
I believe along with that gift, it's not all financial, but
right.
a person with the gift of giving knows when, how, and knows how to perform, put in certain situations. You'll take a person with the gift of giving. Would work great in a conference because they'll know how to distinguish and know how to perform given certain areas. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, this is how I think people begin to really understand these particular ministry gifts and even the difference between just being somebody that. Like that give, that they'll give if they're asked, or somebody that just is a giver. If there is a difference, and we have to understand that. And like we said, a giver can sometimes be mistaken by the person that keeps receiving from them, as they put them in a different place where that giver really don't want to be in that place. So we have to be mindful to tell people, this is God blessing you. This ain't me. He's just using me as a tool.
Right.
Amen. Let me explain another area of a gift of giving. You'll be in a service, and God will move you to just go to someone. And remember, God said, what you do in secret, I'll bless you openly. You slip something in a man's hand and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That has been done to me, and it encouraged my soul so much that I bless someone else. It creates a domino effect. It goes back to, you are encouraging someone. That person with the gift of giving does more than just gives. I mean, it's adding, amen, and sometimes multiplying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, Frank, that was really good talking about the gift of giving and just going back over them because it was so much. Like even, and that was a gift because we kind of got to touch on giving, but we didn't really go as deep as we went today. And so that was a blessing just to kind of go back over that particular gift because if we didn't reach as we didn't get into it as much as giving the differences about, you know, a giver and somebody that just gives because they've been asked to do it at that time. And so there's a difference there. And even just like the just all of the dialogue that just came forth, the ministry that just came forth, as being such a blessing to someone that really needs to know the difference of that. So sometimes people, like I said, sometimes you give, and you feel like that sometimes you're being taken advantage of because people just keep coming to you. And so just to know the difference of that and that is a gift from God and to make sure you allow God to be in it and not you begin to be in yourself giving.
Amen, because it's good to know that a giver a person with the gift of giving moves by faith.
Yeah.
And hearkens unto God. Because the scripture says God caused the poor of this world to be rich in faith.
Mm.
Amen.
And in order to be a giver, this is really something that we're talking about right now because we're getting ready to move into something. So we have to make, my husband and I, we're getting ready to move into something, and we got to make sure we're not walking in emotion and that we are led by the Spirit of God. Because some people, they will take advantage of you if they think, you know, they can get something out of you. But you got to stand firm and seek God, you know, even in your giving. So that is a gift. And this is a blessing, just kind of bringing things to light. You have to be careful.
Yes, you have to be. You really do. And especially to know when to give and when not to give, too. Because sometimes you just keep giving, and then you look up. You, like you said, like you were using the example of how you gave that money, and then you ended up having to file a bankruptcy, and it was for the exact amount that you gave. So we have to be careful of that we don't just keep giving and then find ourselves in situations because I believe a person that has a gift of giving, that I really believe that God honors that request when he says, give and it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, where he calls men to give into your bosom. So I can't never really see a person with the gift of giving having lack.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Passionate about it. Can't see that, but because the guy, if they keep giving, that they seem like they always are taken care of and have. And not that other people are not either, but it just that's just something that I always think about when I think about somebody with those particular gifts. And so
with those gifts, elders, they still have to. We have to be careful and be in balance, because in all our giftings, we can still be out of balance. And so we need balance. So sometimes we do find ourselves in situations that we normally wouldn't be in because God is trying to teach us balance. With all these giftings, we have to have wisdom. And so our wisdom grow with us, with our experience, and as we acquire more knowledge on how to operate in our gifts.
Yes. That is right. Because if not, if we don't have balance, then we go too far. And then we find that we go way past what God required or what God was asking for and thinking that we're doing the right thing, and sometimes we're doing the right thing for the wrong reason.
Amen.
So then if I go back to looking at the gift of organization, and it just really continues to talk about that an organizer is efficient, thorough, and loyal. These are people that have those particular gifts. They invest their time wisely, and they like to accomplish tasks, and they like to cross them off their list. I said, well, I don't know if I got this gift, because I said, I need to write a task list. But anyway, so I crossed them off. But they don't like to waste time because they think it's unprofitable. They think that's what makes them an unprofitable servant. And then they do have somewhat of thick skin, because when you begin to work with other people, you kind of have to have that so that you'll be able to deal with them. And it's that they're patiently address the frustrations of others, and they can handle pressure extremely well. And so that is something that somebody that is able to implement impossible situations and things like that, and they're able to move through that rather with a plan. They're a person, they're usually a person with a plan, and to get things accomplished. They can discern the true character of others, and they can recognize slowfulness, and they will quickly remove them off of their team because they don't have the patience to deal with somebody that's not moving or operating. Because this is, you know, they're results oriented. They want to get things done. They got a project. They need to get it done. If you're gonna work on the team, then be a working participant. If you're not gonna be a working participant, they really don't have time to deal with that. That's kind of their personality.
Repeat again. What this gift was that you were explaining?
The gift of, it's either ruling or organizing. If we look at, 12, and it says, he who exhorts rotation, and it says, he who leads with diligence. So it's the lead, and that's from the New King James Version, but I do believe that the King James says ruling, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see if I can get that. If I can get that particular, I don't have my King James Version Bible in here with me for some reason. I don't know why. I got it on this electronic. But anyway, that person is somebody that has that particular. Anybody got any comments on the person that has that the ruling gift?
Or leadership skills.
Yeah, the leadership skills. Let me find that particular scripture in the other version. You know, we still King James people. I try to branch off, but I think, you know, when you have these scriptures memorized in certain areas, it's kind of hard to branch off. Let's see. In verse 8 it says, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence. So it does say ruleth in and then over here in the New King James it says he who leads. So it's the person that has leadership ability, but they're talking about more leadership ability to complete projects and to complete, you know, things that need to be done in that particular area, not necessarily the leader overall. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference. Like, again, like going back to those fivefold ministry gifts, those are all people like the apostles. Those are all people in leadership roles. But this person has a gift of organizing things and planning things and getting things done and being able to organize people to complete tasks and things like that. So that's what it's talking about.
And knows how to delegate authority.
And knows how to delegate authority, exactly. That is what that's what that particular gift is talking about. And so
If you're a leader and you don't have this gift, then you have a deficiency.
Exactly.
So a leader working in the office of a prophet, of the administrations, or whatever we're going to call them, the ruling gifts, operations, you need this gift to be effective, be an effective leader. Because you
right.
got to have a vision as a leader. And you... Some people operate in administration. They can help you carry out the vision, but you still have to be able to lead.
Yeah. They have the five ministry gifts. They have the leadership. They have leadership capabilities, but what they don't have the time to do a lot of times is get the projects done because they're too busy doing the other part, and so they need people with these giftings as well. And I think that it's not that they can't do it. They can do it, but they walk in a different authority is what I'm thinking,
Okay.
But they do have this gift. They have this gift. They have to have it. They would have to have it. Then the next and our last motivational gift is the gift of mercy. And so what is the, when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives and he was doing the, let's see if I can find that particular scripture, in Matthew, is it 5, where he gives the Beatitudes, and he says, I just thought of that scripture, that's why I didn't have it already ready to be flipped to. I just thought about it when I thought about mercy. He said, well, those that have mercy shall obtain mercy. Well, he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I was just thinking about, and the person that has the gift of mercy is somebody that is sensitive to the emotional and spiritual needs of others. A mercy giver is drawn to people in need and seeks to demonstrate compassion, understanding, and love to them. And then, of course, he gave a biblical example for this and said the Apostle John had the gift of mercy. It says the Gospel of John in the Epistle and the Epistles 1, 2, and 3, John shares a unique perspective of Jesus' ministry and includes many insights into the love of God and his work in the heart of a believer. And it says, and this is John 13:34-35, it says, a new commandment, and here let me get, I'll see if I can get in King James Version, because it seems like it'd be kind of difficult.
So what are you looking for? In Matthew?
John
13:34-35. Chapter 13, starting with the 31st verse. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Yeah. And so that's what that's talking about, somebody with a gift of mercy has that kind of love, and you know, because they are sensitive to the emotional needs of other people. And then if we look at Romans 12:15, where it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Somebody with mercy, that has the gift of mercy, is a kind of person that does like to rejoice with people. They like to weep. They'll weep with people. And they, you know, they have that really sensitive side to them that, you know, they don't want to, you know, when they know something, you know, it might be wrong, but they have compassion for people. And Jesus had compassion for people. He was moved sometimes by the compassion of the people and had compassion on the people. And so it says that somebody that that has mercy, they also a person
well,
is important. Go ahead.
Well, I was saying, when you read Romans, you really should have included 14. It says, bless them which persecute you, bless and not curse, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit.
Yes. And so those are all, that's somebody with that mercy gift that they have, you know, they just have compassion for people. And they, and not that we all don't, because we, most believers have compassion. But then sometimes, you know, some of us are a little harder on people than others. And so, but these people will have, they just are sensitive to certain things. Does anybody have any comments about somebody that's mercy, that has mercy?
I believe these are people, it goes back to Matthew 5 that you read, and it connects with verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, I believe that merciful, that being merciful, you got to have a pure heart with it.
Right.
And these are your, the ninth verse goes on to say, blessed are the peacemakers. I believe that the person with this gift would be a peacemaker, which we all
mm-hmm.
are to be. But this person would, a peacemaker looks for peace, thirsts
right.
for peace, seeks out peace.
Yes.
And sometimes we want to give railing for railing and don't look for the peaceable part. But a peacemaker always looks for a peaceful conclusion.
Yes.
To every matter. You know, even if there's anger and you know, a heated exchange, they'll find a peaceful way out.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. I think even if you have done them wrong, they show, instead of being justice, they show mercy. They're more
yes.
forgiving. That gift is more giving, forgiving. Like Christ looking at me on faults and seeing something else, the need in a person, versus
Amen.
Looking at what actually happened. They just show mercy when they should convict you or condemn you or whatever they feel. They would be in their right. But some kind of way they are gifted to give mercy when some of us, we don't have that type of compassion. We lack
mm-hmm.
that. They can. It's like a supernatural gift given from God to give grace when you should be convicted.
Amen. It's just like, you know, the Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the intent of the heart. You're discerning that
yes.
person's heart, even though they did you wrong or said the wrong thing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And they're just drawn to the sense of people. And another thing about what they said, something about people with mercy, they feel they must pray. Their prayer is an expression of their hearts, the hearts of God. And so they feel like that's something that's a part of them too. They feel a need to pray, and
like intercessors.
Yeah. Yeah. And it says that they have a God-given ability to sense a person's spirit or atmosphere, even among a group of people. They can sense that somebody has a need. They have a gift to equip each to reach out to people who are suffering. They feel for people, and they can kind of see when somebody is suffering, or they, you know, they just feel like, you know, like if you, like sometimes I know I've got a feeling like I might look at, even in our leaders, you look at them and you think, you kind of feel something, a sadness that they might be going through, and you just really begin to pray for them, and you don't want that for them, and you just, it just gives you a different thought pattern about them. I know I've felt that for people before, but and they're just merciful people. They feel like if they you know, they would want somebody to show the same mercy to them, because God shows what he said. He said every morning a new mercy. So he gives us a new mercy every morning. And so if God is merciful, then surely we should be.
They're just kind people. They're kind. They're
yeah.
very kind.
Yeah.
And I believe, along with the Lord giving us new mercies each morning, he'll give us new mercies through people.
Yeah.
Well, you'll find that today they weren't merciful. Tomorrow they would be.
Yeah.
Because it's a work of the Lord. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And people with mercy tend to embrace humility. They tend to embrace that. And they just feel like, you know, that they are really people that embrace humility, and they are attracted to people in distress and just all of those types of things. And so that's the gift of mercy. And of course, we're out of time. I said time goes so fast when we're really diving in.
Elder, though, this is beautiful, because it it shows the body of Christ that you're significant.
Yeah.
When so many people think that, you know, these gifts are non-significant, they're very significant in relating to God, and they're very significant in relating to each other. You can tell me you love me all day long, but if you don't never show me, I won't believe it.
Right.
Exactly. It's an action.
You know, there's got to, you know, faith without works is dead. I got to have faith in you loving me. So show me. You know, and that only inspires me and encourages me. We have to remember that we, being of the body of Christ, need to encourage one another, uplift one another, exhort one another, you know, strengthen one another. And that's what it is all about. That's part of God bringing his kingdom here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful, the teaching today, in showing the listeners, everyone that is listening, tune in to this. You are significant in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen. And I think if people really realize that, then it's not so much, you know, stuff going on in the church or people looking at anybody, you know, crossways and all like that, because you're just as significant with your gifting as the other person is with their gifting. If we really could embrace that, how much more people we have in the church or amongst one another by understanding our significance. It's really a beautiful lesson. And I thank God that we are taking the time to go through these gifts. Next week we'll be starting on the ministry gifts. And Elder Dodson and Elder Poston will be teaching on those particular gifts. And I think there's 10 of them that I have listed. And we're going to go through all of those. And then we'll be going on with the manifestation gifts, which Elder Timberlake and Elder Russell, I think, and even myself will be teaching on those gifts. And we are just going to keep on. And I think this is going to take us on through the end of the year and then before we start the next series. But we thank God for just the opportunity to walk through the Word of God and to be able to just go over. Because sometimes we like Sister Dodson said, we read over it and we see it and we read it, but we don't take the time sometimes to dive into it. And just diving into it and being able to expose what these gifts really are about, it also can help you to determine what your gifting is if you don't know it, if you're not sure about it. So hopefully that this is what this will be doing for people, is helping them to determine, you know, where they feel like they lie, their gifts lie, and be able to use them to edify the body of Christ. And we're going to...
And let the cultivating experience start.
Yes. Yes.
Where you start cultivating that gift, making it pure, making it direct, and making it sound.
Yes. Woo! Glory to God. Yes. Yeah, that is beautiful. So at this time we're gonna close out for you. You'll go through our closing for the day because we have running out of time. But we're so grateful for each and every one of you that, like I said, always those, especially those that call in, participate on the broadcast, and we thank God for all your wisdom and knowledge and that you have brought to the broadcast, to the teaching today. And just your input has been a blessing to each of us on the phone and those that are hearing and those that will listen later. And we thank God for that. And we always pray that whoever needs this teaching will find it and that they will be able to listen to it, and just that it will fall on good ground and they will be blessed by the Word of God. I'm going to ask Elder Dodson if he would offer or extend the invitation for Christ. And then I'm going to ask Elder Poston if he would pray us out.
Dear Lord, we extend an invitation to every listener that is not connected with Jesus Christ. It is not connected with your sanctuary and your church. Oh God, We ask that you would touch them in their hearts, help them to see their shortcomings or where they are, and Lord, give them a repentant spirit that they say, what must I do to be saved? And Lord, we pray this prayer of salvation upon their hearts and in their spirits, that they give their heart to you and that they go to a good Bible teaching church to receive all they can to be in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father God in heaven, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, O Lord God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, O Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for so much of your rich word that we've received today, O Lord God. And we're reminded as we come to the end of the day, Lord God, that things that we've learned over this day, God, that people may forget, but God, you never forget us. And we thank you for that, O Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word that you gave us this afternoon, that at the end of all of this, when it's all over, God, I'll still be standing, God. We thank you for your
Hallelujah.
Word. We thank you, God, for even this last word that we got this evening to teach us and learn about the gifts that you've given us in the body of Christ, O Lord, for the perfecting of your church, O God. We thank you, God, for the desire. And, God, we're humble that you even give us the mind to
Hallelujah.
Out to know, have a deeper understanding of who you are, God.
Yes.
God, we praise you. We magnify you, we lift you, we glorify you, Lord. And we are humbled, God, by you choosing us to use us as your vessels, God. All the glory belongs to you, God. We
oh, yes, Lord.
You, we magnify you, we thank you, we lift you, we extol you, God. All in the name of your mighty Son, the Christ, the Messiah that you gave for our sins. You loved us so much, God. We thank you for that, God. And
Hallelujah.
We pray this prayer, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yeah. Glory.
Lord, you watch it. You're taking us in.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Oh, God. Oh, we're so thankful for the prayer and the offering, the invitation, and like I said, all the input that came through on the broadcast today from Elder Timberlake and Sister Dotson and Elder Dotson and Elder Poston. We thank you so much for just sharing your time with the people of God, and we thank God that he will give it back to you a hundredfold, but we thank God that this word went on good ground to the people that will hear it, and that they will be able to be not only hearers of the word, but doers also. They will be willing and obedient, and they will have faith and work with it. God bless you all, and we will see you back here again, or tune in again here next week for the Prospering Souls podcast. God bless you, and may he keep you throughout this week, and that the blood of Jesus will cover you. Bye-bye.
Have a blessed one.
Have a blessed
Bye.
One.